In this week's episode, I want you to think about your business when it comes to the six human needs that Tony Robbins refers to. The reason he is referring to these six human needs and why we need to think about it when it comes to business is because it helps us to communicate the value of our offer to others in a way that really speaks to something that they need deep down. And they might not be communicating those needs to you specifically, but they are there. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about what that looks like for your business and what that looks like within the aspect of a mastermind. So join me today as we talk about Tony Robbins' six human needs. I'm Jen Argue, and I've been leading masterminds for the past 5 years for six and seven figure entrepreneurs. And I would love to help you start your own mastermind as well, so that you can create a really big impact with those around you and work a lot less and make a lot more at the same time. So if you haven't heard about Tony Robbins' concept of the six human needs, they are what he says make up a person, makes up their personality, makes them up spiritually. And I'm going to describe that briefly, but let's just go over the 30,000 foot view of what the six human needs are, according to Tony. So first, there is certainty. Second, this is funny, but there's uncertainty or variety. Third is significance. Fourth is connection and love. Fifth is growth. And sixth is contribution. The first four needs, he would say, help make up a person's personality, like the different degrees that they have for certainty, variety, significance, and connection or love. And then the last two make up a person's spiritual being. And that is referring to the growth and the contribution. So once you get all that, it helps you to be able to translate it into the business and marketing world, especially as you think about your own offers. So let's take a look at that and what that means for your business. Okay, so when it comes to your business, I want you to think about how each of these applies. First, let's look at certainty. There is a level of certainty that most people need. Obviously, some people need it more. And so as we go through these with, as you're thinking about your business, think about your specific population. There might be, if you look at your population as a whole of the type of audience that you serve, your audience might have different degrees of each of these needs than somebody else's audience. So getting to know your audience specifically and where they land when it comes to each of these is really going to help you when it comes to communicating your offer and the value that it has to your audience. Because if your offer really gives a lot of certainty to your audience and your audience loves that, that might not translate to somebody else's audience. So really don't think about anybody else's audience other than your own as I go through this. So certainty, this really is referring to the desire to avoid pain and to gain pleasure. So you can think about it as, is your audience somebody who likes routine, who likes to know what's going to happen, to have that sort of predictability in their life in whatever area you provide a solution for? And if that's the case, it's going to really help you to be able to speak to that certainty. So let's take, for example, okay, this is random, but if you sell life insurance, you're going to want to really have a strong need for certainty, knowing that if something happened,
that you can rely on that service and it's going to come through for you. Maybe in another example, a better one might be like mortgage, right? If you sell mortgages to people and you know the audience that you serve loves certainty, you're not going to sell them a variable loan. They're going to want a fixed rate. And that is going to speak to them as something of a higher value. And so whatever your field is, think about how you deliver certainty and how much your audience desires that. Now let's look at the next one, which is kind of the opposite, uncertainty or variety. So some offers are really more valuable in the eyes of the beholder if there is a lot of variety in the offer. Maybe it's offering something exciting, a lot of stimuli. Think of like Disney World. Disney World actually offers both. They offer certainty in that every time you come and get the Disney experience, it's always going to be at the same level of quality. At least that's what they're aiming for, right? And that's what their reputation is. But also you're going to get a lot of variety. There's a lot of stimulation happening, and people with a strong need for variety love extra stimulation. They want their senses engaged. They want to be able to be surprised. They want their emotions, experienced, and they're looking for some kind of richness of experience in the variety sort of way. So think about, what is it about your offer that speaks to variety? And maybe while I'm going through each of these, you could be taking notes on how your offer specifically speaks to each of these different needs. Okay, third is significance. So this is all about helping someone's needs when it comes to them wanting to feel unique and important and needed. People love to feel special. And especially if you think about, are there ways for your offer to be custom delivered? For somebody who enters into your world, is there a way that they are going to get a customized experience, maybe like a white glove experience? So significance really helps people to have that special feeling, I guess. And so what ways do you help your audience to feel significant or to help them create more significance in their life? So let's see an example for that. If we're going to go, let's go with the Disney theme just because that's fun. But when it comes to significance, I think they really deliver when it comes to those dressed up, characters like Mickey or Minnie. And when they notice you and they come and they act all like excited to see you and they get into, your world to get their picture taken with you. And there's all different ways that helps you to feel significant. And that's an exciting thing. People love to post those pictures of them with their favorite characters. And so how does that translate into your business? Next, we want to look at connection and love. So this is all about, if I could think of it a special way, I would say belonging. This sense of connection, love, and belonging just gives you a strong feeling of closeness. And people, we're relational beings. We want to be connected to each other. So how does your offer help people to, feel connected? Now, this can be on a very personal level. Like, let's say you have a coaching group. And your coaching group offers live coaching where somebody can get direct coaching with you or with the coach that you hired in your group. Or maybe it's a mastermind. And we're going to talk more about how this applies to masterminds. But what is that feeling? Masterminds are all about a feeling of belonging. It really is speaking to the aspect of the lonely entrepreneur who's feeling isolated and like they're floating out in the ocean all by themselves, right? All of a sudden, they have this wonderful group of people who are just like them. So is there something in your offer that makes people feel that belonging? If you're thinking on a larger scale, you might want to think about your branding or the culture that you're creating. So if you have some type of offer that is really scaled, there might be something that really helps you to feel like you belong to everybody if you have a really strong kind of culture or branding around your offer. So if we go to Disney again, it's going to be like everybody feeling like, you know, who loves Disney, that they're all in this big Disney family. And I think Disney does a great job of that because there's ways you can collect the pins and you can join Disney forums and, you know, all things. There's so many Disney communities out there. But I guess that would speak to the aspect of community in your business. And if not community, then maybe it's just with you. So how do people feel like they're not alone if they're just hiring you for the service or with your one-on-one offer? So think about what are ways they can feel that sense of closeness and bonding either with you or with the community at large. Okay, now let's move into the two needs that are more spiritually oriented. One is growth. So when it comes to growth, we're thinking about the human need for expansion, to be able to increase their capacity or their capability or just their understanding about something. Definitely there are people out there who just love to learn. They love to, you know, figure out as much as they can about whatever it is they're interested in. So how is your offer offering that ability to expand, to grow, to learn or to get more skills or to increase their load or their ability to have capacity in their life in whatever area you're focusing on? And when you can think about that growth factor, even if you're selling something that might be a product, there's still an element of growth there because you're teaching people new ways they can use your product and ways that they can expand their life or their capacity for different things just from using your product. If you're selling clothes, these clothes might afford you opportunities to move into areas that you weren't able to before. Maybe it's interviewing clothes, or maybe it's climbing and hiking clothes, or maybe it's just trendy. And so you want to fit into certain communities by wearing these different clothes and feel a sense of belonging. So a similar thing can offer, you know, multiple amount of needs just from the perspective that you're taking with it. Okay, the last one is contribution. When it comes to contribution, oh, people love to feel like they are being of service. People love to help. I remember learning early on, way back, maybe 15, 20 years ago, I did an MLM. And I learned when I started selling with this MLM to ask people, could you help me with this? Could you help me by hosting a party of some sort? And using the word help, people understood that. And people want to help others. And it was a beautiful way. It really did open some doors that probably I couldn't have moved through before if I didn't even know that concept that people were moving into one of their basic human needs of contribution, wanting to help. And that was beautiful at that time. And to be able to use that language with your audience of, you know, this offer that I have can help you help others, can help you use your services for the good of others. It can help you get you in front of others so that you can help even more people. I think this comes up a lot when it comes to entrepreneurship because entrepreneurs truly do want to help people. There is this element that when you're an entrepreneur, you're providing a solution, right? So we're always providing solutions to help somebody. And When you appeal to an entrepreneur's desire to help others and to solve problems, you're really speaking to one of their core needs, which is contribution. So think about with yours, what is something that you believe your offer could help your audience feel like it's allowing them to move into their contribution need? Okay, let's move to an area that I know a little bit more about, and that would be like McDonald's. Okay, so the Ronald McDonald House, right? So when parents have children who are sick and need to be at hospital visits and can't afford to stay somewhere else because they have to be there long term or just whatever the case is, they have places where families can go and stay while their kids are receiving care. And so McDonald's has this element of contribution built into their business. So whether it's helping entrepreneurs, if your audience is entrepreneurs, to communicate how your offer helps them to contribute to society more, or you have some sort of giving back built into your business, that is speaking to a core need of contribution. Okay, so now I hope you have a list of how your business speaks to each of these needs in different areas to different degrees. And think about how you're actually talking about that in your marketing, because you want to be able to communicate how you address these needs in your marketing. And you don't have to be straight up about it, like in your face. You can come about it through story. You can come about it through speaking in different ways and paint a picture around it or give a nod to it. Or you can come right out and say it too, if it fits for your offer. But definitely think about which ones speak the loudest to your audience and start to make sure that you are communicating that to them. And see if it makes a difference. I would love to hear from you if you started implementing that to see if it made a difference for your business. Okay. If you're interested in hearing about how this applies to masterminds, hang around. I'm going to start talking about that now. Okay. So when it comes to masterminds, certainty is so beautiful and it's really tied in to connection and love. But there's this element of, let's just take the entrepreneur mastermind, for example. This certainly would apply to all types of masterminds, but you could apply it to your own audience as I talk about this. So with entrepreneurs, typically, as you advance in your business or even starting out, you can feel really lonely and you can feel like an island or like you're just floating out in the ocean all alone. And it's hard. It's a hard place to be, especially if before this, you have been working at a job and rubbing shoulders with other people or just doing anything else. Maybe you were a full-time parent, or maybe you were involved in some type of group of some type of volunteer or something. You're rubbing shoulders with other people. When you're an entrepreneur, that doesn't happen as much. You might be rubbing shoulders with your team, but it's a different feeling. Yes, it's great and you feel a sense of camaraderie with your team, but you're kind of missing that person who holds the same position you do, who's also a business owner, so that you can know that you are always going to have this group of people to turn to. And knowing that you always have this group of people who are in your corner, whether it's at your regular meeting time or whether it's in between meetings in your community group or through email, you know that person is always there. You've probably heard you can't really pick somebody's brain without paying them, right? People's time is worth a lot of money and their expertise, and we should be paying people if we're going to be getting advice from them. In a mastermind, you get the ability to pick each other's brains anytime. You can call, you're paying to be in this group and you're paying for the privilege of being able to lean on each other. And so that builds into the entrepreneur's need for some certainty in their business. Another aspect that a mastermind might play into certainty is when a group, that rising tide phenomenon starts to happen, where you are experiencing the success of everybody else, and it helps you to experience success too. And so just knowing that you're in this group, rubbing shoulders with other go-getters, it helps you to not have a slump. So it builds more emotional certainty and stability in your life, which translates into your business. So that whole idea of certainty with avoiding pain and gaining pleasure is like overarchingly happening within a mastermind. Okay, let's go into the second human need. The second human need, uncertainty or variety. This happens so easily in a mastermind. I love the way that this presents itself because you're in this group, you're with all these different people with all these different specialties and strengths, and you get to be in these group meetings and listen to everybody's input as they're brainstorming each other. And that is like the ultimate stimuli for an entrepreneur. They love ideas. Entrepreneurs are idea seekers. They are seeking out stimuli. They are seeking out ideas, new ideas. One of the biggest things people say about masterminds is they join it because they want to know what they don't know. They believe it's what they don't know that's going to give them the biggest breakthrough in their business. And that's where the variety comes in with a mastermind is you are just presented with this huge variety of ideas from a group of people every time you meet. It's amazing. It is definitely what draws people into a mastermind as well. Okay, let's talk about significance. Oh, this couldn't be better than in a mastermind. When it comes to significance, you know, feeling unique, feeling important, feeling needed, this happens every time you're in that brainstorm group. So if somebody, well, gosh, I think it could happen whether you're sitting in the hot seat chair or whether you're in the group helping to brainstorm somebody else's hot seat. If you're in the hot seat chair yourself, you're definitely going to feel unique and important because people are all focusing on you. And so you get the spotlight and you feel significant. Like, wow, people are helping me. I mean, so often entrepreneurs are always helping other people. But in this situation, they are actually getting helped themselves. And that feels good. That feels really good. But then also, if you think about when they're not in the hot seat and they're in the brainstorm group, here as well, it's easy to feel important and like your advice and your ideas are needed. And so it does lend to that feeling of significance, even when you're not in the hot seat, even when you're in the brainstorm group. So significance definitely gets its box checked when it comes to masterminds. Okay, now let's look at connection and love. I mean, this is so obvious. When it comes to a mastermind, that's what it's all about. That is probably the one human need out of these six. That's got to be, well, you know, I was going to say it's got to be the biggest, but honestly, now that I think about it, it really depends on what the focus is of your mastermind. But it's definitely right up there. If not the strongest one, it's maybe second or even third, but right up there because that's what a mastermind is. It's the coming together of like-minded people so everybody can meet their goal better and faster. So that feeling of connection and love and closeness and knowing that your mastermind has your back. You know, they are there for you. It's a group that is signing up to be supportive to each other. And where else do you get that? A mastermind is such a perfect place for that. You don't always get that in, like when you sign up for a course, that could be a DIY, a do-it-yourself situation, or you could sign up for a group coaching program, which is great, but still there's not this level of expectation that you're going to show up to every meeting, you know? And so you're going to rub shoulders, maybe make some friends, but it's not the same level of expectation as a mastermind where you're expected to show up. You're expected to support each other. It's part of the contract that you sign when you join a mastermind. So that one, in my opinion, is really head and shoulders above the rest. Now let's look at the last two, the more spiritual elements, growth. Definitely people join masterminds for growth. And I've heard it said more than once that if somebody even gets one business-changing idea from a mastermind, the investment was completely worth it, even for one idea that changed their business. And I want to really express that, you know, real go-getter entrepreneurs or people who are really serious about whatever industry they're in and joining the mastermind for that, that is the probably the biggest belief of the real successful people in the mastermind, that they're not investing in a mastermind and expecting every single aspect of the mastermind to be life-changing. They really are looking for even just that one nugget to bring them the return on investment to say, like, that's why I joined the mastermind. A lot of people will join masterminds just because there are other go-getters at their level in there, and they just want to be around that type of thinking, because people who are at the next level, they just are thinking a little bit differently. And you know how Jim Rohn says you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with? Well, that's a mastermind. So when you're hanging out with other people who are at that level, you start to adapt that way of thinking, and it's a success way of thinking. It's a success culture, is a way that I've described it before. It really is a success culture, and it helps you to be able to grow because you're around other people who are growing. And when you surround yourself with other people, you, whatever they're like, you tend to become like that. Okay. The last one is contribution. Now, contribution is played out obviously when you're in the brainstorming group. So when you're in the brainstorming group, you are contributing, you're giving your expertise to somebody, your unique point of view to somebody. And that makes you feel good. That makes you feel like, yeah, I have something to give. One of the questions on my application for my mastermind is, what can you contribute to the group? I like to know, you know, what is it that everybody who's going to be joining my group has to contribute? I had this group once that was amazing, where I had somebody in it who was a Facebook ads expert. She had so much to contribute. And now all these people, of course, a lot to contribute even outside of their specialties, but it was really cool that their specialties, like one was a Facebook ads expert, another was a digital marketing expert, and she had a lot of knowledge with like hiring and stuff like that. Another person was a bookkeeping expert. Another was an expert when it comes to running big teams. And so many different types of experts. When that group got together, it really was dynamic. And it was really kind of fun to just see how, you know, it felt for them to contribute. I remember too, there was in that group, there was another person who had this specialty with learning styles. And when she would share the different ways that people approach learning, it really opened our eyes to new ways to think about serving our audiences. And I think when everybody has the opportunity to really contribute in the way that they know best, like their own strengths, their own expertise. It makes them feel good, and it really does fill our human need for contribution. So that's my reflection today on the six human needs. And so I want you to think about, how did this impact you? How did you think about your business a little bit differently? And does this make you want to start your own mastermind in your industry? And I invite you to check it out. Wherever you're listening to this, look in the description for the link to come and join us in the Ultimate Mastermind, where I teach you how to run your own profitable mastermind. Thank you so much for joining today, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that if you found value in this, that you would subscribe to my podcast and share it with a friend and leave a review. Thanks so much.